Welcome. Glad to have you with us today here at Oasis Scotch Plains. We're so thankful for your presence this morning. I'm David Hunt. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just great to be together. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning than I usually do and normally incorporate my scripture in the message, but what I'd like to do today is just basically have us take a look at it ahead of time, and then we'll go into the message for the morning. So we're going to pull up Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25, and it goes like this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. Certainly I would not have known sin except through the law, for indeed I would not have known what it means to desire something belonging to someone else if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of wrong desires, and I died. So I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life brought death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold into slavery to sin. For I don't understand what I'm doing. For I do not do what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I do what I don't want, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For I want to do the good, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the very evil I do not want. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer me doing it, but sin that lives in me. So, I find the law that when I went to do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of good in my inner being, but I see a different law in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin. That is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt for a second. I'm so sorry to interrupt for a second. But talking about rescuing, this is not a joke.
Uh-oh.
Somebody, and I hope it's one of our donors here, somebody has a keychain, they lost a keychain with a BMW and an Infiniti key connected to it. And I don't know who that is, but if you could look under your seat, there's a fellow out there, his mom is in the car, and I hate to... This is horrible. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine.
This is not a joke.
at first, I thought this was an Ellen thing. Look under your seat. See if you want a car.
An Infiniti and BMW
keys
connected. Anybody find anything? No? Okay. I'll go let him know that his Infiniti and his BMW is lost or stolen. I'll be right back. Okay. Ready?
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. All right.
I don't think that's ever happened to me before. That's funny. Okay. So I read that scripture. It's a long scripture. It's like do, all these do-dos. And it's like, okay, what? We're going to get into it. We're going to understand it, okay? So don't think, oh, that just went way over my head. I was there at the beginning, and then you lost me. Don't worry about it. We'll get into it. Two men lived in a small village. They got into a terrible dispute that they could not resolve, so they decided to take it to the local sage, the wise person in the community. The first man went to the sage's house and told his version of what happened, and when he finished, the sage said, "You are absolutely right." The second night, the second man called on the sage and told his story, his version of what had happened, and the sage responded, "You are absolutely right." Afterwards, the sage's wife scolded her husband. "Well, those two men," she said, "they told completely different stories about what happened, and you told both of them that they were right. That's impossible. They can't both be right." And the sage turned to his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." "Yeah." We have this same type of conflict going on inside ourselves. You know, the one little voice says, do this, and the other little voice says, do this. And we think, which one is right? Which one is wrong, you know? I'm not the kind of person who brings politics into a church service where I tell you who to vote for. But I'm going to say this. It's like an eternal political debate, you know? The Democrats think the Democrats are right. The Republicans think the Republicans are right. And then there's a bunch of people in the middle who don't know who's right and who's wrong and who's telling the truth and who's telling a lie because it's just all so jumbled up, okay? It's very confusing. And there are times when we don't know what the answer is. We don't know what the truth is or who to turn to. But then there are times when the truth is very clear. There's an echo, by the way. There are times when the truth is very clear, and it's do this, don't do that. And that inner little voice is just really right on, and you know exactly what you're supposed to do and what you don't do, and still you do the wrong thing. It's like if I said to you, here's some gum. Don't chew the gum. You think he's going to chew the gum?
I think so.
Yeah. Exactly, right?
He's going to chew the gum.
I know. He's going to chew the gum because I told him not to.
I know.
Tommy Lasorda, the former Los Angeles Dodgers manager, described his own battle with his inner self. He said, I took a pack of cigarettes from my pocket. I stared at it. I said, who's stronger, you or me? And the answer was me, so I stopped smoking. I took that vodka martini. I said to it, who's stronger, you or me? And again, the answer was me, so I quit drinking. Tommy Lasorda said, then I decided to go on a diet. I looked at that big plate of linguine with clam sauce and said, who is stronger, you or me? And the little clam looked up at me and said, I am. And he said, I just cannot beat linguine with clam sauce. Writer, theologian C.S. Lewis put it this way. No man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. And that's why we have God's law, folks, because God wants us to know the right way to live. Now, when God gives us the law, it makes us realize what's right and what's wrong. And when I say that, it's such a basic thing, and you're like, yeah, of course. But often we don't do what's right. We do what's wrong. You know, more often than not, the Christian life is a struggle. And God's law can be misapplied. God's law can be a hard thing for us because it makes us want to do stuff that we just don't want to do. Now, sometimes the laws, even in the Bible, sometimes specific laws in the Bible are not necessarily good laws anymore. Sometimes laws in our country are not necessarily good laws anymore. For example, in our country, there is a law in the state of Alabama that you may not have an ice cream cone in your back pocket at any time. In Arizona, hunting camels is prohibited. So no camels in Arizona. In Florida, it is illegal, and this is Katy Perry, by the way, it is illegal to sing in a public place while wearing a bathing suit. Okay? Tennessee, it is illegal to use a lasso to catch a fish. Whoever came up with that? Whoever got that passed? In Baltimore, Maryland, it's illegal to take a lion to the movies. It is. You just can't do it, you know? In New Jersey, it is against the law for a man to knit during fishing season. And I'm going to tell you something that may save you some money right now. Listen up. I got pulled over by the cops, okay? And a ticket was given to me because I have a frame around the back plate. My New Jersey plate has a frame around it. That's illegal now. $150 fine. They said, your plate is unreadable. I said, you can read it. It's not dirty. The light's working. Yeah, but do you have a frame around it? Yeah. It's unreadable. Okay, they're trying to get money out of you. So if you have a frame around your license plate in the back, get rid of it. Okay? That's New Jersey. What can I say? In Utah, it is illegal not to drink milk. In Wyoming, you may not take a picture of a rabbit from January to April without an official permit. Chris, you cannot take a picture of a rabbit. You have to go to the town and get a permit. And Texas always beats everybody, right? Get this. A recently passed anti-crime law requires criminals to give their victims 24 hours notice, either orally or in writing, and to explain the nature of the crime they plan to commit. And in West Virginia, no member of the clergy is allowed to tell jokes or humorous stories from the pulpit during worship. I'm already in trouble. Okay, these are stupid human laws. And God's law is a whole lot different. It started when God gave us the Ten Commandments. And they were pretty clear. The first part of them tell how we are supposed to relate to God. And the second part tells us how we are to relate to the people around us. But what happens? They take the Ten Commandments and they give them to the people. Big mistake. What do the people do? They get the scribes, the Pharisees, in other words, the lawyers involved. And the lawyers decide to come up with thousands and thousands of little tiny nitpicky laws to explain the 10 laws that are at the basis. And then you get to a point where you really have thousands and thousands of laws that you can't possibly ever do. You're never going to be able to do it. And some of them are really silly. And it's impossible, folks, you know? Don't cut your hair. Don't eat shellfish. Don't come to God's temple if you're having your period. I've never had that problem, but some people do. And that's why Jesus told us that, you know, if you love God and you love each other, you basically fulfill the entire law. He brought it back from those thousands and thousands of nitpicky things to the basics. He told us, in essence, use your intelligence when defining the law. Use your compassion. Use your faith and your love, and that will help you to figure it out. But it's still not easy because you have this tiny little voice inside our head telling us, don't do it this way, do it that way. And it's contrary to God's way. The Bible says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it. It is the sin that dwells within me. That's part of the scripture I read earlier. So what we see here is Paul is struggling, okay, with this law. He's struggling because he has a personal struggle, a battle within. He's describing the battle of his nature and his sin. He's describing this war within. which does not exist for him until the forces of Jesus Christ come into play. Because before he became a Christian, what was he doing? He was going around and he was taking those Christians, those horrible Christians, and killing them and beating them, putting them in jail, killing them. He was doing all this because he thought that was what the law wanted. But then when Jesus comes, knocks him off that horse, knocks some sense into him, he realizes that that is wrong. He's been doing the wrong thing all the time. He thought he was being holy, and he wasn't. He had to go back to the basics of faith. God, he had to go back to the basics of what God wanted for him. And then he realized how much God loved people. Now, many of us are familiar with the book of Robert Louis Stevenson, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Stories about the good Dr. Jekyll, who was working on this potion that would allow him to split into two personalities. And so he was Dr. Jekyll, the compassionate doctor, the loving person, caring person in the community. And then at night he would become Edward Hyde, that evil, cold-blooded killer who was malicious towards the people that he met. And the two could not be more different. Dr. Jekyll was so nice, and Mr. Hyde was so evil. Well, finally, there comes a point in the story where Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde can't seem to coexist in the same body. Dr. Jekyll always had control, but now Mr. Hyde wants more and more control over the body. He wants to get rid of that nice, compassionate Jekyll. Hyde begins to emerge on his own, taking control of the doctor's life. And the two fight over who is going to get this body, this piece of flesh. It is a classic novel about right and wrong, joy and despair, the struggle of good and the struggle of evil. Someone asked Robert Louis Stevenson one time, where did you find the model of your character of Edward Hyde, the evil one? And he said, I found it in my nature. I love the musical, the Broadway musical, Jekyll and Hyde. If you have a chance to see it, go do it. It's so theological, so great. I want to show you a piece of it right now. Maybe. There he is. It's coming.
There's a face that we wear in the cold light of day.
It's society's mask, it's society's way.
And the truth is that it's all a facade.
There's a face that we hide till the nighttime appears.
And what's hiding inside behind all of our fears
is our true self. Locked inside the facade.
Every day, people in their own sweet way. Likes to add a coat of tights and be all day.
That's how our little
game is played. Living out a masquerade. Acting a bizarre charade.
While playing the same. But there's one thing I know, and I know it for sure. This disease we've got has gotten no ready cure. And I'm certain life is terribly hard
when your life's a facade.
Look around you, I have found you cannot tell by looking at the surface what is lurking there beneath it.
See that face, now I'm prepared to bet you what you see is not what you get, cause man's a master.
What is the sinister secret? The lie he will tell you is true.
It's that it's men you meet on the street. Is it one man, but two?
Nearly everyone you see, like him and her and you and me, pretends to be a pillar of society.
A model of propriety.
Sobriety and piety.
Shudders at the thought of notoriety. The ladies and gents here before you, which none
we can never discover.
The facade.
Ah, I love that. If you have a chance to see it, please do sometime. You know what? It really drives me crazy, batty, when I see these people out there that think that they're so much holier than the rest of us. Just because I'm up here preaching doesn't mean I'm better than you. I'm not. I'm preaching this message to myself as much as I'm preaching it to you because I need it as well. You know, we're all in the same boat. So don't tell me that the CEO is better than the person who is homeless on the street. In God's eyes, we're all together. In God's eyes, we're all one. He loves every single one of us. Don't tell me that the preacher on the TV is any better than you are, or me, or anybody else. You know, if they say that they are, they're lying. Because they're trying so, so, so hard to hold that facade up so that you don't see the sin in their lives. And we all do it. I do it. You do it. We don't want to tell the secrets. We want to keep people at bay so they don't catch on who we really are. My one pastor who I grew up with used to say, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't be in church. And that's the way I feel, you know? Robert Louis Stevenson was a Christian. He learned that there is indeed inside every child of God, there is this beast. Yes, we're a new creation in Christ. We have received a new nature. God's Holy Spirit is helping us every single day because we have shared our love for Jesus with the Spirit. But with that comes the law, the understanding of the law. And with that comes a lot of pain and guilt, you know? And it's hard because now we know what the law means and we don't like it. And we have a tough time not doing what we shouldn't do. There's two sides going on inside us, this beast, you know? And it never completely goes away. We never get to a point where we're totally sinless. Nobody is sinless except Jesus. You know, from our text today in Romans, the Apostle Paul had the same fight, and it was going on inside him. He was struggling with it every single day. And you know what? He understands us. And that's why this part of God's word is so great. Because we know that there's somebody in God's word who went through what we're going through, you know? There's this battle where he says, I do not understand my own actions. I do the very thing I hate, and I do not do the good that I want to do. And so what happens? We do the wrong thing, and we feel bad about it afterwards. Then we have guilt, and we say, what have we done? And you might begin to doubt your own salvation. Hey, if I was such a good Christian, how come I keep sinning all the time? How come I keep hurting God? How come I keep hurting other people? Am I losing my salvation? No. You're not losing your salvation. You know, God's Holy Spirit is with you. That's why you understand about the sin in your life. You know? Don't feel unworthy. We're all officially unworthy. But no matter where you are in your life, however wretched a person I am, and you say, who is going to rescue me from this death, this sin? And guess what? The answer is Jesus Christ. He comes into our lives through the Holy Spirit, and he empowers us to hopefully sin a little bit less tomorrow than we did yesterday. He empowers us to know that even though we are sinners and officially unworthy, we are still welcome in God's sight. Because guess what? God didn't come into our lives when we were holier than thou. He came into our lives when we were at the lowest point in our life, sinning like crazy, hurting people, hurting God. And guess what he says? I want you to spend eternity with me. Wow. How could I be so lucky, right? God wants me to be with him forever. Oh my, that's fantastic. But now I have to transform into something a little bit better. And it's not easy. As I said, it's really hard. So there's this power struggle that's going on. And it leads to anger and all kinds of stuff. And you have to deal with things. And it's not easy, but you do it. And sometimes it's really hard to let go of the temptation to sin, you know? You don't want to sin anymore, but you still do it. And it's hard to let that go. Ring-tailed monkeys in Africa are a delicacy of the Zulu people, and they are extremely difficult to catch because they are very agile. But the Zulu people have found a way to catch them. They get a gourd or a coconut, they drill a little hole in it, just enough so that the monkey can put his hand in, and then they hollow it out and they put either melon or rice in the bottom of the coconut, okay? So then they tie a rope to the coconut and tie it to a tree. So the monkey's up there, it starts to smell the coconut with the melon or the rice in it, right? So it comes down, it sees the coconut with the hole in it, it puts its hand in, it grabs the rice or the melon, and it can't pull its hand out. So it gets scared. It runs up the tree, it gets to the top of the rope, and they pull on the rope, and the monkey falls. He's still holding on to that coconut. He's not gonna let that go. So he runs up the tree again, and they pull on the rope, and he falls down. Again, until the monkey gets really tired, and then they come along and bonk him on the head and have monkey stew. I know it's definitely worthy crying over that, but you know, we get a hold of something in our minds and we just can't seem to let it go, even if it's killing us. We love God. We don't want to do evil. We want to do what God wants us to do, you know? And yet we have this beast inside us, you know? And we can't seem to stop doing the wrong thing. Remember God's word to us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, then he, Jesus, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the answer to this battle is to confess our sins to Jesus, to the one who calls on us, to be stronger in our faith and tells us all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to confess our sins, we have to first acknowledge what our sins are. Okay? And that's where the law comes in, because we now know what those sins are. But God is gracious and loving. Not only does he forgive us time and time and time again, but in true fashion, he says, forget about it. I forgot about it. I don't know you with that sin. You are a new person. I love you. That sounds like Trump, doesn't it? Never mind. Ooh. Okay, after we confess, God forgives us. And it's like it never existed in memory. Not ever. God doesn't remember it. Okay? So how blessed are we? And keep in mind, this is not something that we can do ourselves. If you were to have your roommate, your spouse, your significant other say, excuse me, but the pipes under the sink are broken. Would you fix them? And you try to fix them, but you make it much, much, much worse than originally it was, right? What's the TV show? With the handyman who wasn't very handy? Yeah, okay. Well, then that person would say, let's call in an expert, a plumber, to fix the pipes. And the pipes will be fixed the right way, right? Well, we can't fix our own sin. We don't have the capability. We have to go to the expert, and the expert is Jesus Christ. Okay? So call on the one who created life. Call on the one who dies for us. Call on the one who is like no other, and his name is Jesus. He will help you get your hand out of the gourd, out of the coconut. He will help you to let go of the beast that's within you. We have to yield to Jesus Christ, because he alone is the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the keeper of the law. He shows us where we fail, and he shows us how to forgive and to move on. And the hard part for me, I don't know about you, the hard part for me is to forgive myself and to move on. Now, Michael Phelps, in the news like crazy all week, okay? Last Olympics, or was it the one, I don't know. It passed Olympics. Most decorated athlete in history, was all over the news. What does he do? He's a young kid, and he has all this fame and fortune. All of a sudden, he goes out after the Olympics, and he messes up big time. Loses all his endorsements, outrages the fans. He got stuck like smoking pot. He said to his friend at that time in his life, he said, I don't want to be alive anymore. It was so hard on him. A few years later, he was arrested, charged with driving under the influence of alcohol. He voluntarily checked himself in 45 days into a program for rehab. And now look at him, right? He let go of the sin and the stuff in his life that was holding him back, that was hurting him and hurting the people around him. He focused in on who God wanted him to be. And look at him now. He has a family, a little, what's his name? Boomer? Cute kid, you know, with the headphones and all. And now he's got his whole life together. And I think he's spending time trying to train the rest of the team so that they'll do better. He's really giving of himself, you know. He's let go of that sin. I got to tell you, I just, these holier-than-thou people really do get to me, because they think like, okay, I'm so perfect, I don't sin, I have to basically tell you how sinful you are. You know, but there's another part of the scripture that talks about that, you know, plank in the eye and all that. Basically, we're all there, folks. We all have that same trouble with sin. And no matter where you find yourself today, I want you to know that there is hope. Because Jesus Christ loves you. The Holy Spirit will come inside you and help to lift you up. God will forgive you of all your sins, all the past sins that you've done. You've got to forgive yourself too. But God's going to forgive you if you confess them to him. He is going to love you because he already loves you now. He already wants to be with you in heaven forever. So let him in. Don't say no. Don't think that there's no way I can get close to God, because God wants to get close to you so desperately. I want you to know that you are a blessing. And I want you to know that you have a purpose. And when the law comes, you're going to realize how good you can be. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much for all this, and we ask for your blessing upon us. We ask that you will come upon us through your Holy Spirit and take us wherever we are in life, however much we've sinned, and take us and transform us into the people that you want us to be. Help us to not sin as much tomorrow as we did yesterday and today. Help us to know, Lord, that we are worthy even though we're not, because you love us, because you want to spend eternity with us. Be there for us, Lord, each and every day, and love us like no one else can love us. In Jesus' name, amen.